are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
And of course, our television audience right here from the capital of South Africa, throughout the United States of America, thank you for the honor to bring the Word of God to you right where you are, across Europe and throughout Africa. We welcome you. God bless you. May God touch you today, and may your life never be the same. I want to tell you today, God still says, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Come on, this is our time to believe God for great things. Let's welcome all the people with us across the world. We have some dignitaries with us today, and we always like to take time to honor people. We honor everybody. You're all our guests across our country. If it's your first time with us, you are our very, very special guest. God said this will be a house of influence, so we do invite people of influence to the church, because we know people in positions of authority can do a lot for God. Amen. We don't only want to be known in this world, but we want to use the influence God gives us to make an impact for God in this world and to make our world a better place. Amen. South Africa. Say that, Africa. Come on. Come on. Somebody lift your hand and say, God bless South Africa. Amen. So from the Independent Police Investigation Directorate, Mr. Robert McBride, Executive Director, and many of his dignitaries, also CEOs with him, will you please stand, sir? We want to welcome you today. Come on, you and all your those that are traveling with you today. Please, we want to welcome you. Thank you for being with us today. South Africa is better and will be better because of your diligence. Amen. So we pray with you and believe God with you that this will be the greatest year in every area of your life, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, sir. And then also from Bowler World, Will Dominique Sewela, the group CEO, and then many of his CEOs traveling with him. So we welcome you. You're a man of great influence. We welcome you. Come on, everybody with him. Give them a warm, warm, warm welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. It's, we need to serve God in the valley and also on the mountaintop. So I always say to people, the higher God takes us, the lower we should become. And the longer I'm in the ministry, the more I see I don't know everything I thought I knew. And the longer I walk with God, the more I see how much I need God. Amen. Amen. So, sometimes we get to a place where we think it's going to be a great place, and we get there and we find out we are exactly the same people, that nothing has changed. Only thing that changed is the journey and the pressure that sits upon you. And you just want to stay the servant of God and serve the purpose of God. So today will be a service with a difference. We are praying over people in business, and we are praying today over people that are looking for jobs and people that have jobs. How many of you this morning, you have a job or you have a company or a business? Lift your hand this morning. Okay, so that's for all of you. That's everybody in this place. Open your Bibles again to Luke chapter 5. Let's get into the Word quickly, and then I'm going to lead you in a declaration. So it's a different service this morning. So you're going to get ready, because you're going to leave this place blessed in Jesus' name. No. Say this morning. Say, I'm already blessed. So I'm too blessed to be stressed. In the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, before we pray, let's see that everything is in alignment so that God can release the overflow that we believe God wants to release in our lives. Okay, Luke chapter 5, let's read verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was standing reading from the Amplified by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding all around him and listening to the word of God, that he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, that's being Jesus, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little distance from the shore. And he sat down and began teaching the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Peter, put out into the deep water and lower your net for a catch of fish. And Simon replied, Master, we worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion. I know many of you are tired here this morning. You're giving it your best effort. And I'm telling you today that God is going to bless you and that things will be different in 2018. If you believe it, say amen. By the way, God doesn't bless lazy people. They were to the point of exhaustion. They were working hard and they were doing what they knew to do. And then Jesus comes along and he blesses them. And the Bible says they caught nothing in our nets. But at your word, I will do as you say, lower the nets again. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were at the point of breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats with fish so that they began to sink. How many of you are ready to sink. Not with problems, but with blessing. Well, I declare that this year, God is going to astonish you, that God is going to amaze you, and that God is going to do great things for you. So before we pray today, let's recap quickly just what the last 2 months was about and how we're going to position ourselves for the greater things that God has for us. Number one, what it be to do? He gave Jesus his boat. If we want to see God's continued blessing in our lives, we have to be very intentional to keep Jesus at the center of it all. We have to align ourselves with God and with God's purpose. There's a lot of people who have no purpose, or a lot of people that are pursuing a wrong purpose. Mark Twain said, the most important days of your life are the day that you are born and the day that you discover why. I ask people all the time, why are you alive? Many teenagers grapple with a question, why am I here? Many people think they will live forever, but the truth is we know that death will come to all of us, and then we will go back and give account to the God who created us. So Jesus makes it very clear to Peter after he blesses him. He says, from now on, you will fish for men. Peter, I'm going to bless your business, but I'm going to marry your business to a purpose bigger and beyond yourself, to my kingdom purpose. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So if we want to go from emptiness to overflow, we want to be very intentional to give God our boat. We want to give Jesus the center stage of our lives. We want to live for the glory of God, and we want to live for the kingdom of God. Because what other purpose is there? Just to go to work every day, to grow old, to have children, to have grandchildren, and then one day you die? Is that it? Is that the end of everything? Oh, people may applaud you in this world and you may accumulate many accolades, but one day when you get to heaven, there will be another kind of an applause. There will be another crowd waiting for you. And that's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and in the process loses himself? Well, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So yeah, Peter is a fisherman and God comes to bless him to be a successful fisherman. But beyond that, God gives him a purpose, a kingdom purpose. I believe every believer should have a purpose, not only to worship God, but to fulfill the word of God in our lives, to take this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations of the world. Come on, to make this world a better place. That's why we are alive. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So as a Christian, I don't just want to go to work and grow old. I want to work with a purpose. I want to know that every day matters. I want to know that one day when I stand before Jesus, I will hear from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to climb a ladder and reach the top of that ladder and have everybody applaud me and heaven doesn't even know I exist. So if we are going to declare God's blessing over our lives, we have to understand why. When God called Abram, he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. There's a purpose to your blessing. There's a purpose to your boat, Fisher, Peter. No longer will you just fish for yourself, but you will fish to finance my kingdom. You will fish to preach my gospel. You will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. So if I'm a businessman, I need to attach my business to God's kingdom purpose. Deuteronomy 8 verse 8 in the Bible says, you will remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. So really, God doesn't mind you having money, but God does mind money having you. Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. Jesus, John 10:10 said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, but not at the expense of your relationship with God and your purpose. Why were you born? Why did God put you on this earth? Why does God want to bless your business? So that you can be a blessing, so that you can be part of what God is doing in the world today to reconcile this fallen world back to God our Father, so that you can do your part where God has placed you. Maybe a director, maybe an owner, maybe an employee. You can be an Esther and you can influence a whole kingdom. You can be a maidservant and you can influence the director. You can be the director and influence the whole company for God if you serve a greater purpose than yourself. Every other purpose will not stand the test of time. Every other kingdom will not stand the test of time. We thank God for politicians and political parties, but God never sent a political party to save you. He sent a savior. He never sent a professor. He never sent a doctor. He sent a savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So although we're involved and we engage in our world to make our world a better place, we realize our world cannot be a better place if we take Jesus out of the equation. Because he's the healer of the broken heart. He's the deliverer of the captive. He's the one that brings meaning and sense to life. He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. I mean, I meet many successful people on all walks of life all the time. Top sport players, politicians, people in all levels of business. And I always ask them, so what is this all about? Because after we've said and done everything, what is it all about? What is left behind? And where are we going? I think one of the wisest people who ever lived puts it in a nutshell. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the wealthiest man who ever lived this earth, Bill Gates on steroids, he was. He says, whatever I desired, I bought. My works were greater than anybody else's works. But he says the following in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says, remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the wheel. What is he saying? Remember God on that day that your spirit will leave your body. Even the Jews believed that the spirit hovered for 3 days before the spirit went to God or to hell. That's why Jesus came after 3 days to raise Lazarus from the dead. Those who practice astral traveling, my father's second wife did it. She brought me into that nonsense before I got saved, spiritualism. So I understand a little bit about the fake in the world. And astral travelers recognize that your spirit left your body and was tied to your body with a silver cord. Now, yeah, it's in the Bible. It's nothing new. That Jesus says, you better remember God. You better remember God, because when you go to heaven, you're not going to go to heaven with a hearse behind you with all your degrees and your diplomas and your wealth. You're going to heaven the way that you came. Naked you came into this world, and naked you will leave this world. Again, that doesn't mean God doesn't want to bless you in this world. We know he does. But more than that, he came to give you an eternal purpose. Something that money can't buy. Something that people can't give you. Something a degree cannot give you. Something wealth cannot give you. Something fame cannot give you. Something the applause of people on this earth cannot give you. Only God can give you an eternal purpose. And that purpose comes through his son, Jesus, who died for this world. Solomon says everything else is vanity. Die Afrikaans sê dit baie mooi. Hy sê as hy jag na bin, dis leeg. Die persoon dink as ek 'n ander vrou trou, gaan ek gelukkig wees. Dan vind hy daai ander vrou oor 2 dae is 'n ou vrou. I need a better car. 3 months from now, the better car is an old car. I want a bigger house, and that's fine. You can have a big house if you've honored God. But when you close your eyes, it really doesn't matter where you sleep. If you sleep. Because there's a lot of people that have a lot of things and they don't sleep. They don't sleep. And God says, I give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Come on. God says, I give you a joy that this world, oh, come on, somebody, that this world cannot take away. I give you a life that this world, that money cannot buy. A joy that is unspeakable. A peace that's not in a bottle. That's why it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. But there's a lot of people with money, fame, wealth, riches that have a lot of sorrow. But God's blessing causes riches in every area of your life without sorrow. How many beautiful young actors and actresses have we seen? How many beautiful musicians, superstars that take an overdose? 28 years old, Amy Winehouse. Nobody cared, she said. And she had a fan base all over the world because she never knew the one who does care. Come on. The one who loves no matter what. Oh, come on, somebody. Give the Lord Jesus a praise in the house. Hallelujah. Solomon says it's vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that's a man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whatever, whether good or evil. So really, until we don't encounter Jesus as Paul did on the road to Damascus, our purpose like him is very often a misplaced purpose, a cause that is not an eternal cause. But once we meet Christ and we keep Jesus at the center of it all, we live life with purpose. We always think about others. When God blesses us, we always think about those who don't have. We always think about those who are less privileged. We always think about the hurting, the oppressed. It's not about me. It's about those that still need to experience the love of God. And as Francis of Assisi said, we should all preach the gospel and if necessary, add a few words. Let your light so shine that people may see your good works. Go make this world a better place for somebody out there. And then tell them it's because God loves you. It's because God cares for you. Go pay the fees of a student out there and say it's because God loves you. Come on, then you have that person's attention. Oh, come on, somebody help me preach out this morning. Come on. Go heal a broken heart out there and then tell them God loves you, God cares about you. But we cannot live a life that is just about us, our power, our prestige and our honor. Because we came into this world naked and we will leave this world naked. And we will stand before our God and give account. Number two, first thing Peter did was give his boat to Jesus. The second thing Peter did, he sowed the right seed. Now don't get quiet on me now if I teach you God's principles, because the Bible is very clear that God's kingdom operates a certain way. So a lot of people that run to prayer meetings and run to prophets and men of God and ask the man of God to wave his hand over them and to bless them. Very often people pray and then people's life is not in order with God's word. Can I remind you that God watches over his word? Can I remind you that it is obedience that brings the blessing and releases the blessing of God in your life? Can I remind you that God will not violate his word? And one of the laws that govern the kingdom of God is the law of seed time and harvest. Every farmer understands that if there's no seed in the ground, there can be no harvest. So if you want your marriage to be better, you better get some seeds. You better love on your wife. You better tell your wife you're looking good. You better tell your wife that you are the treasure of your heart. You better do the right thing. You want your business to explode. You have to sow the right seed. So Peter first sowed the right seed. Then God blessed the boat. Mark chapter 4, the Bible says, he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the head. Genesis 8 verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. While the earth remains, you will live by the law of seed time and harvest. Even before the sin and the fall of man, God gave Adam seed. Seed time and harvest is the way that your faith is released. Galatians 6 verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now people come and they say, well, I don't have anything. And Jesus dealt with that as well. He said, no, find something. Sell something. Do something. I don't have a job, Pastor. Well, then don't sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning. Get up at 5 o'clock, dress yourself, catch a taxi, and go look for a job. Look like somebody that can be employed. Refuse to be part of the unemployment statistic. You're a child of God. Come on. Believe God that His favor will find you out, that God's favor will open doors. You be the best you that you can be. You be like a Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You be 10 times smarter and sharper, and then people will employ you. Come on. You will work yourself in a job. Because you're not a victim, you are a victor in the name. Oh, come on, somebody, shout amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 verse 7, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why do we understand this in agriculture and we don't understand it in every other area of our lives? You can't go plant mealies on an acre and expect a 1,000-acre harvest. You will only get the harvest in line with the seed that you have sown. Well, this is how God's kingdom operates. So before we pray, we have to sow the right seed, because God blesses the seed that you have sown. God doesn't bless no seed. Acts 10:34, the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. I mean, God cannot violate his word. And many people struggle here because they believe they're the exception. I mean, Peter toiled all night. It didn't make any sense when Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down the nets. But he never allowed his self-doubt and his reason to stop him from obeying the word of God. He applied the word of God. You have to work the word of God, then the word of God will work for you. Because God watches over the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So by sowing the right seed, we release God's blessing to empower us to do the right thing, to lower the nets. So you may ask this morning, but Pastor, what is the right seed? Number one, the right seed is the one that belongs to God. And I want to say it this morning, and you may not like to hear it, but I have to tell you, because I'm going to say what God's Word says, not what your cynicisms say. The right seed is the one that belongs to God. You say, Pastor, what is the seed that belongs to God? Your tithe belongs to God. People say, well, tithing is under the old covenant. No. 430 years before the law, Abraham paid tithes in Melchizedek. Jacob honored God with his tithe. Then you have those people that come and say, well, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. And I say amen to that. I'm under grace, thank God. But grace takes you higher than the law. So if you say, well, I'm not a tither, then I want to ask you, what are you? Because if you're under grace, you'll do more. But people want to use the grace thing to abdicate responsibility. If grace takes you higher, then tithing is the bare minimum. Because nowhere does Jesus say, you've heard that thou shalt tithe, but now I say thou shalt not tithe. It is something that believers struggle with all over the world, that which belongs to God. So they're going through a difficult time and they say, oh God, please help me, help me, help me, help me. And God wants to help you. He says, my word. Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word. He's not going to violate his word for your snot and trana. He's not going to violate his word for your sentiment. He watches over his word. Leviticus chapter 27, the Bible says, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. Everybody say holy. Now listen nicely. I'm trying to move you into overflow, into what God has for you. And I'm saying to you, number one, you're not going to do this without Jesus. It's not a formula, this. You love God, you love his kingdom, or there's no deal. It's not a formula. It's a relationship that Jesus takes the center stage. And if he takes the center stage, the next thing that happens is your hand opens. You're not a Jimmy. Gimme, 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 gimme. You're an Abraham. Blessed to be a blessing. Your hands are open because your hands are an extension of your heart. How can we love God and not give back to God? How? If God so loved that he gave. And we deal with Christians and we want to say to them, hey, God wants to bless you. But honor God with what is holy. Well, now I don't believe in this. I don't feel, okay, it's fine. Stay where you are. Stay in the land of never enough. Stay in the land of just enough. And we're not talking about money only. We're talking about your peace. We're talking about your marriage. We're talking about your relationships. We talk about everything, because when Jesus comes, he touches every area of your life. I want to say this again. When we die, we all equal. And when we stand before the cross, we all equal. The same worms that will eat my body will eat your body. Same worms. And if you get buried with your money, then I promise you the guy that digs the hole is going to go dig up that coffin and take the money, and he's going to go spend it while your wife thinks. You can't take anything of this world into the life you're after. Nothing. So like people say to me, but Pastor, I have to give up so much to follow Jesus. What do you mean you have to give up? Depression, sin, betrayal, disease. You have to give up. You have to give up people that build relationships with you just before what they can get. You have to give up death. You give up nothing. Jesus gave up everything. You just benefit. You just receive what he did for you. And if that's not good enough for you, then this Jesus is not for you. He said, if you don't love me more than anybody else, you cannot be my disciple. So if he's not worthy of your total allegiance, call it a day. Until you are ready. Until you're like that prodigal son, down and out, and you realize there is a heaven, there's a hell. There is a day of judgment, and you realize I cannot live this life without Jesus Christ. Come on. But he's not our servant. He's our master. He's our savior. He's our God. He's our deliverer. He's our redeemer. Oh, come on, somebody. Give him a praise in this place. Oh, give him a praise like you mean it today. Hallelujah. So what is the right seed? The one that belongs to God. Malachi 3 verse 10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Proverbs 3 verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. This is how our bones will be filled with plenty. Number two, what is the right seed? The seed that God instructs you to give. There are times that God will impress on you to do something for His kingdom. Where God comes to you and He says to you, give me your Abram, or give me your Isaac. But God is the only one I have. Give me your Isaac. Give me your boat, Peter. The one that God instructs you to give. Again, it's a relationship. If you're married to a wife, then there are times you just want to bless your wife, and there are times your wife impresses on you to give her the credit card because she's going to the shopping center. Sometimes God impresses in us. We drive in our cars, we see somebody, and we feel by the Holy Ghost to help that person. We sit in a church and there's a building like Johannesburg that we are building and you feel, I want to give a seed. I want to give an offering. Or there are times that God impresses on you and God says, give me your first. Give me your Isaac. Relationship. It's not a formula. What is the right seed? Number three, the seed that you purpose to give to God because you love God. Just like David in 1 Chronicles 29, he said, who am I and who are my people that we can give to you? For all we have comes from you in any case. Like a husband who loves his wife, there comes a day that you just want to bless your wife with something. Not because it's her birthday. Not because it's Christmas. Just because you purpose to do something. Well, in our relationship with God, there are times as we walk with God that we just feel. Really, if the preacher always has to talk about what the Bible calls the least money to try and people to part with their money, something is wrong in the relationship between the people and God. Because David, when it came to building God's house, he said, I've of my own prepared this and I've done this and I've done that. He said, because everything I have comes from you, God. And he said, what a great honor, what a privilege it is for me to build your house. He lived for God, you see, that salvation. When Jesus comes, everything goes because He owns your heart. It's not a wrestling match. It's not a struggle. It's my life is yours. 2 Corinthians 9, Paul writes and he said, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you purpose to have a harvest, you purpose to give. No farmer starts this year and he says, I want a great harvest, and he doesn't go find seed. Yes, the deal. God says He even gives you seed. He gives you bread and He increases the seed that you have sowed. He teaches you in the Bible to live this life in abundance. Put Him first. Sow your seed. And then number three, closing, you have to dig some wells. After you've sown your seed, as Abram did, or Isaac did, in the second famine, the Bible says, the man sowed in the land, and he began to prosper, and he reaped in the same year hundredfold, and he began to prosper and was prospering until he became very prosperous. After he sowed his seed, what did he do? After Jesus climbed in Peter's boat, what did Peter do? He worked with Jesus. He let his nets down. He did the possible. Oh, there's a lot of Christians that sit with their heads in the clouds after they have given to God, and they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they have no nets out. The fish never jumped into the boat. Peter had to let the nets down. And I want to tell you, 2018, that God's hand is upon you, that God will empower the work of your hands, but you're going to have to let the nets down. And if those nets come back empty, you have to let them down again. If they come back empty, let them down on the other side. Come on, get a different strategy, but don't be a quitter. You keep on keeping on. Come on, you keep on believing. You keep on declaring that the best is yet to come. And you dig a well, and if that well is empty, you dig another well, and if that well is empty, you dig another well, until the well that you dig has the blessing of God upon it. Because God promises you, He will bless you. God promises whatever you set your hand to will be blessed. If you believe it today, shout amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise in this place. Hallelujah. In Genesis 26, Isaac, four times in five scriptures, or four scriptures, Isaac dug wells. And then the Philistines came and quarreled, and they took the wells. And then he dug another well, and they quarreled again. Place of strife and enmity. You don't build anything without opposition. But if you quit, that's the end. You keep on keeping on. You keep on digging. You keep on sowing. You keep on believing that God's blessing. If one door closes, you knock on another door. Amen. If one well runs dry, you dig another well. Until he dug a well and there was no more strife, and he called the name of the place Rehoboth, which means place of enlargement. I believe 2018 will be a place of enlargement for all of us. Come on, if you believe it, come on. God's going to stretch you. God's going to increase you. God's going to enlarge you. God's going to bless you. God's going to take you places you cannot take yourself because of his kingdom purpose. Oh, come on, if you believe it, you can say amen today. You can believe that today. You're not here by accident. God's got a great plan, a great future with your life. They're in Bloemfontein. They're in Potchefstroom. The rest of your life will be the best of your life in Jesus' name as we align ourselves with God and align ourselves with God's kingdom purpose.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
All across the country, everybody pray this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I give myself back to you. I believe with all my heart that you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I accept you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for a new life. Thank you for the forgiveness of all my sin. I'm born again. I'm your child. Thank you for accepting me just as I am. I surrender myself to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. And upon the profession of your faith, you are saved and your sins are forgiven you. As easy as that. Okay. Thank you, Father, that you're here. Holy Spirit, you are here. Even as we speak now, declaring your word, that your angels are released. Things come in alignment. Our hearts will never be the same again. And great things will be released in the heavenlies. As we declare your word today, thank you that things will shift in us, around us, through us, as we align ourselves with you. In Jesus' name. Here we go. Eins, zwei, drei. Father, with me. Otherwise, it's 20 minutes. So I say one, two, three, then we start, okay? With me. One, two, three. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name and I declare that my boat belongs to you. I declare my life is not my own. I'm bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. I am alive at this hour to serve you and your will and to bring glory and honor to your holy name. Today, I align myself with you, your word, and with your kingdom purpose. Father, I want you to know that I intend to seek your kingdom and your righteousness first in everything I do. I therefore know that I do not have to worry about tomorrow because you promised all things I need will be added unto me if I do first things first. I understand that I exist. My business exists to ensure the expansion and welfare of your kingdom. Naked I came into this world, naked I will leave. The only thing I can take to heaven are souls. I intend to fulfill my purpose through your grace and blessing upon my life. Thank you for planting me in a church through whom I can fulfill my mission and assignment to expand your kingdom. Father, it is my greatest honor to serve and to honor you with my income and possessions. For what do I have that did not come from you? I acknowledge that you are the one who gives me power to get wealth in order to establish your kingdom. I declare that I'm aligned with you, your purpose, your people, and your church. I thank you, Father, that as I honor you with my tithe, bringing it to the storehouse, that you open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. I thank you that as I honor you with my substance and with the first fruits of all my increase, that my barns will be filled with plenty and my vats will overflow. Thank you that as I continue to sow into the ministry, to take care of the needs of your church, that you will supply all of my need according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Father, you promised, as I build your house, you will build my house. I thank you that your hand is upon me for good and not for evil. I thank you that your blessing makes me rich without sorrow. Thank you that I am blessed. My spirit, my soul, my body, my marriage is blessed. My children are blessed. My business is blessed. My relationships are blessed. Thank you that I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Thank you that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon me. I thank you that I am blessed and I cannot be cursed. Thank you that you are for me and never against me. Thank you that no weapon formed against me can prosper. Thank you that you deliver me from the snare of the fowler and that you shut the mouth of every lion in Jesus' name. Thank you that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thank you that you anoint me with fresh oil every day to make the right decisions in business. Thank you that my cup runs over. Thank you that you are my shepherd and therefore I shall not want. Your goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. I declare, I lack for nothing. I want for nothing. Young lions will hunger and suffer need, but I will not, because your spirit leads and guides me daily into your perfect will. I thank you, Father, that according to Deuteronomy 28, all these blessings are coming upon me and overtaking me, because I obey your voice and keep your word. You promised, if I am willing and obedient, I will eat the good of the land. Thank you that I am blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Thank you that the fruit of my body, the produce of my ground is blessed. I declare that my business is increasing. My herds, my cattle, and my flocks are blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you that I am blessed in the basket and in the kneading bowl. Thank you that I am blessed when I come in and blessed when I go out. Thank you that you cause my enemies who rise against me to be defeated before me. They shall come against me one way and flee before me seven ways in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you have commanded a blessing upon me and upon my storehouses, my bank accounts, and in all that I set my hand to. Thank you that I am blessed in this land that you have given me. Thank you that you have established me as a holy and separated unto you in this world. Thank you that the people in this world can see I am called by you because of your favor and blessing upon my life. Thank you, Father, that you grant me plenty of goods in the fruit of my body, in the increase of my business, in the produce of my ground, in this land where you have established me. Thank you that you open your good treasure, the heavens, to give me rain in season and that you bless all the work of my hands. Thank you, Father, that I lend to many nations and I will not have to borrow. Thank you that you make me the head and not the tail, that I will be above only and not beneath, because I heed your word and am careful to observe your commandments. Hallelujah. I praise you, Father, that this is a year like no other. Things will be different. Now you prophesy, they will be better. Things that have been withheld will be released in Jesus' name. I declare that my future is blessed. I declare that good things are heading my way because of your blessing. Doors are opening. Unexpected blessings are manifesting. Opportunities are coming my way. Promotions, bonuses, increases are heading my way. Godly alignments and associations. I praise you, Father, for your favor that opens doors wherever I go so I can testify of your goodness. I praise you for boldness to be a witness for Jesus in my world. I will never forget. My life has a purpose, and my purpose is to win souls. I ask you, Father, bless me, O my Father. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me. Deliver me from the evil one that I may cause no pain. Bless me that I may be a blessing. Hallelujah. If you believe it today, give the Lord a praise in this place today. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, when praise goes up, heaven comes down. This will be a year like no other year. This will be a year of release. This will be a year of blessing. This will be a year of the favor of God. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. The rest of your life will be the best of your life. Good things are heading your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Breakthrough, deliverances are heading your way in the name of Jesus. Every mouth of every lion arrayed against you, God will shut in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, somebody shout, this is my year. I am blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give three people a high five and say, blessed, blessed, blessed. Come on, pass the blessing around. Blessed. Come on, blessed. Blessed. Shalom, blessed. Blessed, blessed. Oh, come on, young people, blessed. Blessed, come on, you're going to have jobs. You're going to have top jobs. God says you will be the head and not the tail. You will be the top dog. In the name of Jesus, that's what God promises you. Hallelujah. Speak the blessing of God over South Africa. We declare an economic revival in South Africa. Come on. Investments in South Africa. In the name of Jesus, the eradication of poverty. Thank you, Father, for a new day in South Africa. That our nation is blessed. Our people are blessed. United, because together we stand. In the name of Jesus. Come on, together we go further. United. For the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, to make this world a better place for everybody in South Africa. This is our time. If you believe it, come on, say amen. Give the Lord one more praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.